Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Feel, guy. Welcome to the free.
Sometimes
zone,
I don't carry any energy. You know, like, what am I pointing at?
You're pointing at my heart. Yeah,
it's sort what of, else is it?
That's your sternum.
Sometimes I carry a little bit of anxiety or a sort of a feeling of not being totally at ease in that area. That's where I can feel it.
Sure, that's where you carry your attention.
And
have you ever done acupuncture?
No, but my little sister's just been getting into it and she swears by it. And there's an acupuncturist just around the corner from our house.
Look, I've never done it and I don't know what I'm basing this on exactly, but I have a feeling that you would really benefit from it.
Mm. I heard that the needles are so thin that they don't actually go into the skin, they go between the cells.
What?
Between the skin cells.
Fuck.
Yeah. But, you know, it's one of those things where even saying it out loud helps remedy the feeling.
Yeah.
It's a technique I use in stand-up as well, where if I'm feeling anxious, I'll say I'm feeling anxious and I'll identify why on stage, and then it dissipates. Not always entirely, but...
Talk about it, folks. It's the moral.
Yeah, I think so.
Label these feelings.
I think it does make a big difference.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to reframe how the... friend zone works today, and I think part of it as well is we're in the new digs, which is the spare room in my new place, and it's a less neutral footing, I think, than the old studio was, because the studio was a completely separate, you know, it was detached from the house, had it its own.
It's true.
It's just a podcast energy going
it's
on.
True.
But this is like in a house. It's a bit different. It's not quite right.
But it's every time I come back, it feels more like a studio. I mean, the last friend zone we did, we were out in the world, and that's when we came across Stephen
like, that was, from The Apprentice.
We were in a very different, and I would say...
People love that.
Totally neutral environment.
We'll do more of that, a bit more of walk and talks.
Trying to think about how else I'm going. I took a 1986 Toyota Corolla to its preferred mechanic out in New Lynn this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then I couldn't... I sort of thought I'd walk to a cafe nearby, and I'll get a coffee, and I'll order a cab back from there.
Yep.
But I, as you know, I only have
You've
one.
You've been locked out of Uber for 8 years.
Yes. And I recently spent like
how
3 hours.
How is this still a fucking problem? Because I thought this was an Apple thing you were going through, but you've got a Samsung phone now.
It's
You're
crazy.
On a whole other operating system.
It's crazy. Do you know what? Do you know what I think?
No,
we got
no.
our phones for free.
Yes, we did. I sold mine.
I think my phone thinks it's in. I think my phone
India.
Doesn't know it's in New Zealand. Because I don't have access to some New Zealand apps. I don't have access to Sky Sport Go, Spark Sport. I can't download my banking app. And when I download Uber, it doesn't let me upload my... It tells me, first of all, that I've got an account with Uber, and then it doesn't let me use my New Zealand credit card.
What does it say?
It says, fuck you. Try Zoomy, the local and worse option. Anyhow, Alice Sneddon came to my rescue and picked me up.
Anyhow this, because I feel like what needs to happen is we just need to sit down for an afternoon and figure this shit out. Because it genuinely really fucking bugs me that this is still a barrier in your life. Like, you've got a thing that is holding back your ability to just have a pretty chill, frictionless time by leveraging these beautiful apps that we all know and love. And then you're like, you haven't had access to them for years.
Yes.
And it's so annoying.
It is annoying, but I've learned to live with it. It's one of those things, yeah. It would be like...
I just did a huge eye roll.
Yeah. I can't imagine how it would feel, like, how streamlined I will feel if I solve this problem.
That's the thing of it. But then again, this is how a lot of people feel about me with driving, because I don't have a driver's license.
Yeah.
And they're like, you're fucked in the head, mate. You need to get a car.
I don't think I've ever said that. I haven't said that to you, have I?
You're not people.
Yeah.
You drive me around. I'm Miss Daisy to I your just driving think, Miss Daisy.
You know, people have got to live their lives. It's not hurting another person. Just let them do it their way. Is that right? Is that a good philosophy?
Live and let live is something I definitely believe in, but the fucking phone thing is different to that. It's completely different because it would make your life better. So the way that I'm going to frame the friend zone today, Guy, is with your permission, I'm going to host you in it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so can I get you anything? Can I get you a...
I'm the friend?
Yeah, well, you're one of the friends in the friend zone. I'll look after you. So what can I... you're hungry? Can I get you something to eat?
No, I've had I went to one of my favorite
yes.
Sandwich places in Auckland on the way to the mechanics. I went to Hare and Turtle. You know I love it. But in saying that, and I had a fantastic experience. I could probably say this on the friends, but I recently had like a religious experience with a new sandwich.
Did you
Auckland.
Fuck a sandwich? Is that why you?
I actually feel like the sandwich fucked me.
Oh, in what way? You wrapped your penis.
I put the sandwich in myself, and like it changed the way I felt.
Oh, right. You mean the normal way?
Yeah.
You're putting it up your ass.
No.
Okay.
I took it orally.
Okay, sorry. So we have a sandwich.
Yeah.
From Hare and Turtle? What's the life-changing one?
The life-changing one was from a cafe called Young George.
Where's that?
Is
it Ponsonby?
No. It's quite hard to get to. It's in the middle of a road that's under deep construction. It's in Owairaka. It's sort of near here. It's near.
Hey, folks, there's some heavy works going on in our town right now. In Auckland, shit is getting fucked up. Our central city has been, like, bad for a long time and just filled with road cones. There's about, like, 10 road cones for every person in the CBD.
It's the equivalent of my phone. I've just learned to look. I'm like, this is just how our city is. This is just what it's like.
I might have said this on the podcast previously, but when I went to Wellington for the comedy festival in May, I was walking around. I was like, hey, why is this town awesome? Why is this city so good and it works and everyone's out and having a good time and it's easy to navigate? And I was like, oh, they finished building it.
Yeah.
It's done. It's completed. Wellington is done. Auckland is
forever under construction.
But we also decided to add a rail network now. Like, after a million people have moved to the place and it's super developed, we're like, you know what would be cool? A subterranean rail system. So,
and they're not wrong.
They're absolutely not wrong. But it's kind of exciting to be around and alive for a big public works project. You know?
Yeah.
You see these dams and you hear about their construction and shit. We're living through a big central rail loop.
I'm sick and tired of sort of being some sort of ungrateful swine who is born when the thing is finished. It's nice to live through the minor inconveniences and quibbles of watching a subterranean rail network be erected or dug out.
Yeah.
It's impressive. Our nation's biggest city. It is impressive.
A lot of cranes, all these big machines.
And I'm always impressed because I don't know how to do anything that anyone is doing on that job.
Yeah.
I take it for granted that I can step on a train and the train takes me from where I am to where I need to go.
Yes.
I don't think about who laid the tracks. I don't think about who's, you know, designed the train.
Train designer.
I trust that there are other people working on everything and it's my job to remain ignorant so I can enjoy speculating about how things function.
That's with you for the first bit, but definitely not the second bit.
Well, you like to see. This is a difference between us. You like to know how things operate, right?
You just
is
frame
a new jacket.
Yeah, thanks for noticing. It's secondhand because I'm on this thing this year where I'm not allowed to buy any new clothes.
Upcycling clothes.
Yeah.
It looks good.
Thanks, man. It's exactly what you need for Auckland, which is just a thick shirt that's like a light jacket.
It looks really good. She bought two new jackets recently.
Yeah, I bought them at the same...
Both looking good. Same day?
Same place, day, 20-minute lunch interval.
I like that. Please continue calling me out for saying I want to deliberately remain ignorant so that I can enjoy sort of speculating about how things work.
You've completed the thought. The necessity, the way that you put it, to remain ignorant, to enjoy it, I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's got a responsibility to remain ignorant about anything.
No, you don't have to actively remain ignorant. It's just a byproduct of how I live.
Okay, I'll abide. I'm being a terrible host.
No.
I feel like I'm being too critical for a host.
No. Being a good host isn't just about acquiescing to like all of the wants and sort of going against your own belief systems or standards for like what your guest thinks. Being a good host is making someone feel comfortable to speak, to be challenged.
And then go, guess what, fucker? Check out my house and how we live in it.
That's right.
My house.
In the middle
of friend zone.
A street.
Yeah, any old.
I'm not going to say which one. It starts with T and ends with an E.
Huh.
The rest is up to you.
Hmm.
Are we going to do the traditional thing of reading messages in this friend
zone? It's bang on 10 minutes in when you said that into the record. Like to the second.
Incredible.
So I think that's appropriate. For the friend zone is designed around our digital mailbag. Monty and Timbo plunging their hands deep into the sack of ones and zeros to see what the good folk who listen to the worst idea of all time have to say to us.
That's true. That's what we do.
This is how we do it.
And what we're going to do today is actually we're going to get into some of those messages because I think we barely did last time and we said we would this time. We said we'd return to regular transmission.
We heard from Stran, Cole, last time.
Yeah, that's right. We heard from Stran. So do you want to kick us off, Tim?
Yes. Tyler has written to us saying, don't say my name. Schneider. That's the subject line. Dear Tim Tam, the Flim Flam Man Bat, and Guy the Flash, oh, wait, hold up. And the Flash, Montgomery. I don't have witness protection information. I hope I didn't get you excited with the email title, but I have an issue with the two of you. That the two of you are uniquely qualified to give advice on. I'm coming up on 15 years of marriage. I love my wife, but she watched all of the seasons of Real Rob on her own accord, and she enjoyed them. Guy, this person writing has written the following. Should I cut my losses? Thankfully, we don't have any children, so whatever genetic brain malformity she must be suffering will not be passed on to the next generation. Thanks for all the laughs. Redacted. Oh, shit. Did I say that person's name right at the start?
I can't remember.
I just
hope their name is redacted.
I should probably check that.
I think this is actually kind of perfect for what we're talking about the live and let live sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you pass judgment on the television shows and movies other people enjoy?
That's your spouse, and I say leave her.
Do you, though?
Me? Yes.
You do pass judgment?
Fuck yeah.
What do you think of that person's spouse?
I don't respect them. And I don't think we'd get along.
I think you would. You got one thing to talk about?
I don't want to talk about that one thing, though.
Ah, rude.
Yeah.
Meeting a new person, you find common ground, and you say, you know what? This conversation, not for me.
You're right. I take it that you're on the other side of the fence, Guy, in that a 15-year marriage shouldn't be thrown away just because someone watched Real Rob seasons 1 through 3?
2. I would probably say it's weird. I think it's weird you like this. This is, to my eyes, a bad show. But then that would be the end. If they go, oh, well, I like it. Say, fair enough. You watch it on your own time. Actually, it's quite liberating because can I ask you about your viewing habits as a couple? How many shows are you working on by yourself? How many shows are you working on?
I'm not watching a lot of
as a unit
stuff. I generally we'll like come home from a gig or something, and there's a bit of MasterChef in play. So he's a big MasterChef Australia fan.
I have become a huge MasterChef fan.
Oh, there you go. You guys should have a chat about it.
MasterChef, for me, currently represents the safest place in the world.
I get it. But when you're from, I don't know. I'm just like, I could be watching something else.
It's actually sport. As you're watching sport, you're watching highly trained professionals apply their skills in competition against one another, and you're watching outcomes.
There's so much I haven't seen
in
though.
Real time.
I've never watched The Sopranos.
Neither.
I feel like I should watch The Sopranos before I'm watching MasterChef.
Everyone's always banging on to me about The Sopranos. Have you never watched The Sopranos?
Never.
No. Not for a podcast.
We could, but I think we'd just watch it separately and then just be cool guys. Because the thing is, Guy and I have such a finite amount of time together.
And it's always done, it's pretty much.
We have to monetize every moment of it.
Entire friendship is broadcast now.
I'm okay with that.
We spent some time together yesterday.
Yeah, we did.
You put on a great show last night, Tim.
Thanks, dude.
If you're in Auckland or in New Zealand, actually, and you see Tim Batts producing a show, you buy a ticket.
I'm starting a newsletter.
Are you?
Yeah, it's gonna.
How can people subscribe?
Well, I haven't started it yet. So,
what's the first message email going to be about?
Shows that are coming up that I'm producing, like live comedy shows. Yeah, and I'm going to do giveaways. I'm going to team up with local businesses who are cool and like give away vouchers and stuff. And I was also thinking about if I can like make the money stuff work of it, paying a up and comer local comedian to just do a funny piece of writing for the newsletter each time it goes out, because I think it's a good way to encourage creativity and also getting people paid.
Yeah, that sounds great.
You got a message?
Mini series request. I know it has nothing to do with Sandler or the other films, but I need you to watch Goop Labs, or as I call it, Goop Laboratory.
Oh, Gwyneth Paltrow's fucking
Paltrow
thing.
Immediately. It is the most batshit insane thing I have ever seen.
Yep.
Every moment is like being gaslit and tortured while on ketamine.
Yes.
I've seen every movie you have watched, minus some of the Patreon ones, and I can say this is literally the most psycho thing I have ever seen. Yes, it makes Cats 2019 look like a normal film. If you do decide to hurt yourself watching Goop Labs, Goop Laboratory, lowercase on purpose, please do a DIRCOM or two, because hearing you react in real time would be the funniest thing imaginable. It's on Netflix and bafflingly made with good intentions and sincerity? Insane.
Whose good intentions and sincerity?
Well, I suppose Gwyneth's, but also how good are her intentions, because she is just monetizing air, really.
Yeah.
And in a way that was, I think, initially okay, but it can be quite dangerous.
Well, it absolutely can be quite dangerous if you're mistaking what she's saying for medicine or medical advice, which is what she's presenting it as in some cases, it seems to me. Don't sue me, you rich person. That show, someone else was telling me about it, it does sound like the craziest thing that's ever been produced, and I think a prime candidate. Like, I don't know what the legality would be around this, because it seems like the Wild West out there, but we should do like a Twitch stream, like a live streaming event where we watch and review that.
My Twitch debut, and actually this, you called me out on Twitter recently, and fair enough too, because of your dastardly behaviour in The Best Host of All Time.
Mm. I didn't call you out. I reminded you of your obligations to the community.
I am in debt to the tune of two consecutive individual Sex and the City 2 screenings.
Two?
Yeah. If we both chose Steel, it was three by ourselves.
Oh, yep.
To fucking betray me and then try and up the stakes after the fact is disgusting.
I'm just asking questions. Call me Alex Jones, because I'm just asking questions.
Sincere and genuine umbrage with the way that that question was posed towards me. Anyway, I'm going to find a date.
Yes.
I'm going to buy a streaming camera. And
you can use my kit, man. I'll get you a seat out. You want to figure this out, eh?
Yeah, cool. I'm going to make my Twitch debut watching Sex and the City twice back to back.
Yes, brother.
And then once you know, we both know how to stream. Dude, who knows, Goop first, Sex and the City 2, next, Goop Laboratory, all lowercase.
You can use your phone as a webcam, and it's way better than webcams.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's 5 hours of streaming. I guess it just has to be...
It's wireless. It does a wireless thing.
Would I have to charge it up?
Yeah, you have to plug it into the wall. You have to do the fucking rudimentary task of providing it electricity so that it can wirelessly stream in high-quality audio and video feed.
I liked being challenged when I was first a guest in your house, but you have now crossed over the bridge to being rude.
I don't care. If it was full at the start, you'd probably make it. $10 has been sent to us from Disco. Someone called Disco.
Yeah?
Oh, crap. I did it again. Don't say my name. That's the message. Guys.
Someone's paid us $10 not to say their name.
There was a last name which I haven't said, so is that going to count? Or do I have to go through this episode and bleep everyone's name that I've said?
Disco Stew?
No. Don't say my name this time. Guys, 9/11 was there. 9/11 made me legitimately lol and remind me I haven't donated in a while. Love y'all.
Oh, that's nice. I remember that. I tried to get that joke working in New York.
Oh.
It did not.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. Well, the why is actually in the joke itself.
Yes.
I've got something here.
Yeah, that's a joke you do in New Zealand.
Yeah.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Good on you.
This says, kia ora and good morning to you for your guys only. And license to Tim from jolly old England.
For your guys only. Do, 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 do.
I've been re-listening to the glorious first season of Twilight in between listening to the new season, and the combination of Grown Ups 2 and Emmanuel has reminded me of the unfortunate existence of the film, and I think we've spoken about this before, Carry On Emmanuel from 1978.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know about this franchise, On franchise?
We have discussed this particular film. Entry into the franchise.
Just imagine if the entire cast of Grown Ups were all lecherous, gross old Englishmen. Sounds great, right? The film killed the hugely successful Carry On series after 30 entries and is considered not only the worst in the series, but one of the worst British films ever made.
Wow.
If that doesn't scream Twilight classic, I don't know what does. Say my name in your best British accents. Stu Munro.
Stu Munro.
Stu Munro. Hello. Hello, and welcome to Audible. No. Hello.
Put a kettle on. Stu Munro.
Where are you from?
I don't know.
It's very nice to meet you.
It's very nice to meet you.
It's very nice to meet you.
All right, Cobber.
I'm abandoning that. Alfie. Do you want to talk more about Carry On Emmanuel? It's staggering to me because those Emmanuel movies are beloved, and it's staggering to me that they did just one single film that was so bad, it torpedoed the whole series. Those things were juggernauts.
The Carry On.
British yeah, cultural I feel
like
juggernauts.
The 30th Carry On is like the sixth scary movie.
Yeah, true.
It's got the title, but it's not the same thing. You going to see the new Space Jam? I've heard it's dog shit.
I actually think I'm going to give it a miss. I was anticipating going to it, and then I've seen the trailer and stuff, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot what these are. They're just like very – they're just kind of there to sell toys and shit.
Mm.
The first – okay, so here's why the first one works, because it's so unique. Like only Who Framed Roger Rabbit has a similar vibe of a mix of real life and CGI. But Space Jam 2 is not doing anything innovative. It's just rehashing the exact same movie and format.
And then also traipsing through all of Warner Brothers' other intellectual properties.
Yeah, because they got to sell toys. Yeah, it's like Pixels, but, you know, LeBron James is in it.
Yeah.
So I have got no interest in seeing it, but I still retain, that's the word I'm looking for, my love of Space Jam 1. Furthermore, Space Jam 1, especially for like a family film at the in that era when it came out, had an incredible soundtrack, which was like pretty much all hip-hop and R&B 90s bangers. And, you know, as a kid, you don't always get a lot of access to hip-hop, and that thing fucking shot some good ass music into the suburbs around the whole world. Can I read you some mail from Alf?
You got permission from me.
Hello, good brave boys. I'm writing to recommend some reading that you might be interested in after watching Rob Schneider's Sexist Bullshit too many times. Testosterone Rex by Cordelia Fine is a book about why our society mistakenly believes that men and women are different in a biological way, and that this difference is what has led to social differences such as men will put up with a relationship to have sex, women will put up with sex to have a relationship. It's an idea that few people put as bluntly as I imagine Schneider did. I haven't watched it, obviously, but no one that... But one that society at large tends to accept, though to varying degrees. The book is funny and very easy to read and taught me a lot. Check it out if that sounds interesting. Thanks for keeping us all going through the shitstorm that was 2020. Your work was then and continues to be very appreciated. Say my name, Alf.
Alf.
Tell
me a little more about that book, Tim. I was getting the next message up while the details of it were described.
The title, Testosterone Rick. The author, Cordelia Fine. The concept, society has mistakenly taught us all that men and women are different in a biological way, and this difference has led to societal differences between the genders and mistaken notions being mainlined by us all. So it sounds like it's a bit of, dare I say, gender critical theory? Is that,
yes.
Is that what...
Well, I'm actually just polishing off a very gender-critical book called Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus. And let me tell you, I would love to hear a counterpoint.
Yeah, yeah.
This book seems to put us at odds constantly.
Do you remember in, I want to say the year is 1997, and like there were big books that came out that just everyone read. Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, I feel, is that era. Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I've never watched it, read it, but I feel like that's just a book that was on everyone's bookshelf in the late 90s, and I feel like there was one other real big.
I've got to tell you about. I just remembered. I have friends who are a couple, who are having a challenging time, and they sort of agreed. I don't know if this was done under a veil of irony or total sincerity in working on their relationship. Was like, okay, well, we'll both read Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus.
It's cool.
Yeah. And so one of them did, went away and came back and said, well, this book, while some of it is, you know, off the boil, I think had some salient and valuable points that we could bring to our relationship.
Yep.
And the other person did not and refuses to read the book.
Refuses? Well, how do you know if it's that it's wrong if you refuse to read it?
Exactly. I just think it's funny to agree and then one of you to actually do it and then to actually take things of value from it.
100%.
And the other person to just not. I think the other person who initiated the idea
I'm worried about that relationship because it sounds like that was a solution to something. And if that's the response.
I've got a message here. It's let me know if you've heard it before. No, I don't think we have. It's long. I found it in the Twitter. I was quite good on the Twitter for a while.
And excuse me, everybody. This one's long.
It reads as follows. Dear Guy Montgomery Burns and Tim Nanimit Carbon Rod. I've been listening to your stuff since the very beginning and thought that given the innumerable hours of listening pleasure you provided me with over the years, it was high time that I put my money where my ears are and hashtag pay the boys by becoming a Patreon subscriber. I've been really enjoying listening back to all the Deciders Club episodes as well as Killionaire and the regular Emmanuel series. Till Death Do Us Part is a particular highlight that I look forward to all year. I'm also one of the countless listeners who's been somewhat inspired by you guys in terms of producing our own podcasts. My most recent project is a full 4-season rewatch of the classic mid-90s Nickelodeon kids show, The Secret World of Alex Mack. Did you watch this show?
That doesn't ring any bells.
No, that doesn't ring any bells for me either.
I don't think that one made it over to our country. I think it got stuck at the border. Immigration were like, what's all this about, Dan?
Any of that? Ring any bells for you?
Guys just brought up a Google image search, which has the star of the show. Yeah. I assumed Alex would be a boy for some reason, but it's not.
Shows you what you know. No.
Nothing.
In which a teenage girl, this is in the show, is imbued with superpowers after an accident causes her to be drenched with a mysterious chemical.
There's a movie coming out soon called Toxic Avenger, which sounds similar. That was from a 90s cartoon that I do remember from my childhood, and it rocked. And I think Elijah Wood is playing the titular Toxic Avenger.
Elijah Wood seems like he has a good life.
He seems
cool.
He's made great choices.
He seems like he's living well. He did the Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
And got that Lord of the Rings money and that clout, and then sort of was like, and now I exclusively choose exactly what I want to do. That's the impression I get.
And not only that, he chooses like willfully independent stuff.
Yeah.
And have you ever seen him in interviews?
Yeah.
He seems like the fucking, like,
I think he smokes.
Oh yeah, big time. Big time. He just seems like such a cool, down to earth guy.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of time for Elijah Wood, and if anyone wants to know what my oldest brother Dave looks like, look at a picture of Elijah Wood. They look the same.
True.
When Lord of the Rings was happening, Dave got mistaken for him around Wellington all the time.
Now, I've broken up the message here, but I'm going to continue. So the podcast is a total rewatch of the 4 seasons of The Secret World of Alex Mack, hosted by myself and my friend Cal. The podcast is called The Secret World of Cal and Jack, in which Cal and Jack watch Alex Mack. And I would love it if you would be so kind to give it a plug on the Friend Zone, the fulfillment of which I imagine I've already but guaranteed as I wrote the name of the podcast before asking you to say it. And I'm pretty sure you just read and record these messages sight unseen. I don't know where you'd get that idea.
Guilty as charged, Your Honor.
Finally, I have a question for Guy.
I'll back out.
I'm in the midst of planning a move from my hometown of Melbourne to New York City. My darling fiancé is a driven an ambitious graphic designer, and after years of trying, she's finally landed herself a job at a swanky NYC design agency. She was actually in New York sorting it all out in March last year. That's March 2020. And then March and the rest of the year of last year happened, so it had to be put on hold. But that's a whole nother story. Now, with things starting to resemble a new normal that we can all operate within, we're putting our plan to action, making the big move.
Oh, God. When was this message sent?
May.
Have you seen the latest comings and goings of Melbourne?
Yes. But that's the ebb and flow of,
I guess,
life right now.
Good, though.
My fiance's work visa allows for me to accompany her, but I can only apply for my own work permit once I'm physically in the country, and it'll take a few months for it to be approved. So that'll leave me with a hefty chunk of free time once we're arriving in mid-July, which is right now. So congratulations. Welcome to New York. We're just reading your message now.
I've got a bad feeling that might not have happened.
Yeah?
Yep.
Well, we'll never know unless Jack writes back.
Well, hold on. There's more because they want your advice on something.
I'm hoping to do some volunteering somewhere, experience the Sex and the City tour, and just really enjoy some me time. But Guy, I was wondering if your experience in New York left you with any pearls of wisdom or advice that you might be able to pass on to an early to mid-30s fella headed to the Big Apple without any real plan or direction. Stay frosty, you beautiful, brave boys. All the best and say my name, Jack. P.S. I know the classic Twilight format of one movie for the whole year is more or less over, but I wanted to pitch you an option. Were you to revisit the old format? I recently saw Tenet, and as I left the cinema thoroughly confused, I thought to myself, I wish someone would watch that movie 52 times so they can explain to me what the fuck was going on. So that is from Jack, who is possibly, or possibly not, in New York City with his partner right now. So Ken, who I lived with in New York and is a very close friend of mine, relocated back to New York recently, and I've been talking to him some. And it sounds like it's obviously still got that old New York magic, but the energy is different, and obviously what is open and the sort of New York City that he left at the start of last year and the New York City's gone back to are completely different. So it's really hard. But you know, it's all the basic stuff. Get out to Prospect Park, buy a bike. Best way to get around New York City is on a bike, and go to Winsun Bakery in the shoulder of Bushwick, where Bushwick becomes Williamsburg. Go to Winsun Bakery and Winsun Restaurant. I know they're open because Ken just told me he went back there, and it's high quality food.
What's the best free stuff to do in NYC?
In NYC, well, it depends. If you're arriving, the best stuff to do is genuinely just to
walk around,
put some headphones on, and go and walk around.
Yeah,
and you can, like, the thing about New York is expensive to leave the house in New York, but you can also live somewhat cheaply if you take a water bottle and you.
There's like beautiful parks and lots of galleries and stuff.
Yes,
though, so you can
And you can eat, like, if you eat from street carts and you eat dollar slices, and like if you go to Chinatown, you can get some incredibly high quality cheap food. But it is a very, it's just like to actually do things, or if you've got friends or like, let's do this.
Yeah.
It's like when you walk out of the house, you pretty much put a $50 bill in a rubbish bin and you don't really know what happens to it. But
yeah.
That's
yeah.
kind of what happens.
Yeah.
I had another thing I wanted to say, but I cannot remember. But my big recommendation, especially because it's the summer right now, is buy a bike and bike as much as you can. Bike everywhere. It is the coolest thing to do.
Find some jazz. Find some live jazz. I know you didn't ask my opinion, but...
Tim can have opinions too.
This is from Patreon.
Cool.
I never read these messages, cool. And that's really bad because they're the ones I absolutely should be reading. Hi, boys. I thought I would drop you a line and say thank you for all the laughs. I've been a fan since your Southern episode. I remember it well. I was immediately sold. Anyway... It has been like 5 years and I have some extra money these days, so I thought I would pay the boys and get those sweet benefits of being a decider. Also, I have one question. It has been 25 pornographic movies, no bonus. Are you sure you're doing it right? Your one libertarian listener.
Well, thank you, single libertarian listener. I will say this, we haven't had our hand on it.
That's true.
And if you want to, you know, if you do, if you want to...
Facilitate
a bite, like, you know, 25 is a fair enough sample size to say these penises aren't going to take care of business on their own.
This dick's not going to get itself yeah. hard.
So that is, it's a sort of welcome notion and an intriguing idea, you know, because you would say get your hand off it.
Yes.
What about this, Tim? What about getting your hand on it?
Yeah, you ever try that one on for size?
Yeah.
Society.
Maybe if we spend a little less time getting our hand off it and a little more time putting our hand on it.
Mm-hmm. Things wouldn't be so bad.
Things wouldn't be so bad.
I'm going to read another message from Patreon.
Okay, I'm going to read a message from Twitter.
Should we read them simultaneously? To disrespect both messages?
This is a two-parter.
Okay.
And the first one came on June 19. Mm-hmm. Timbo and Mr. Mont, just wanted to write and say thank you for all the happiness you guys have brought me these past few years. Uh-huh. No sad backstory here this time, just day-to-day life that can feel pretty rough. But no matter how I feel, every episode is a certified banger and guaranteed to make me feel better.
Uh-huh.
I just want to add in that Podcast in a Tree is amazing and my favorite miniseries so far. You sound much happier doing it than torturing yourself with bad porn. I want to hashtag pay the boys, but I'm a broke college kid just barely getting by, so apologies for that, but I will get onto it ASAP because you guys deserve it. Don't know if you even read Twitter DMs on the friend zone, but if you do, and this is worthy, say my name, Marshall Skelton, Mississippi, USA.
I feel like you're having a good time on the mic at the moment.
Yeah, I'm having fun.
Good man.
And then there's a second part, Tim.
Yep.
Back. Boys, I'm back with a life update.
When was this sent?
It was July 8th.
Mm-hmm.
About a week and a half ago, after I sent that message, I got into a rough car crash.
Whoa, shit.
I had to have an emergency stomach and back surgery.
Holy
after
shit.
Literally breaking my back.
Oh, my God.
Jesus. Y'all's show has been so good to me as I work on living again, pushing through the pain and trying to get back to normal. Thanks so much, guys. Marshall, well...
Man, Marshall tried to squeak through with no dramatic sad tale, and then one befell him. It's like some sort of friend zone curse. Hey, Marshall, that's fucking sad, dude. I hope you're like getting there now. You know, it's this is obviously a much easier thing to say than it is to live in real life, and I don't pretend to know the first thing about a traumatic car crash and the effects of recovery thereafter. But one thing I've tried to internalize a lot in the last few years, which I've found helpful, is the steadfast notion that there is an entire universe of things out of my control and just a few things in my control. And I find that idea very useful and empowering. And I think it's very useful to just remember that there's only so many hours in the day, and we're only above ground for so long, and we've only got so much energy. So just focusing on the things that you can change, I think, is a good way to have a happier life. Is any of this applicable for Marshall? Don't know. I've got no idea. Marshall seems like a dude with his head screwed on.
Mm.
And I really hope he's doing okay with his recovery.
Likewise.
I've also settled on a male pronoun, and I'm not quite sure why, because I don't know if we had any evidence for that, but there we have it. Sincere apologies if I got that wrong.
No.
But it also keeps us up to date. Tell us how you're doing.
Marshall is a he, him.
Cool.
And I'm on his Twitter. He's retweeting some funny tweets, so he's obviously finding humour.
Love that.
In places.
You got anything to say to Marshall?
Fucking good luck and all the best, man. We're rooting for you.
And that's the friend zone today, everybody. No, I'll read one more. Elena from Patreon says, thank you so much. Your wonderful podcast has got me through an undergraduate arts degree, and without that financial burden, I can finally hashtag pay the boys. I made and tweeted a human-sized hamster wheel once while listening to the 5-hour Sex and the City 2 podcast, a feat I could not have done alone. That rocks. Do you remember seeing that?
I don't.
Me neither. Elena, if you would, and I hope I'm saying your name correctly as well, if you would be kind enough to send a link to some footage or still images of that, we would be ever so grateful.
Much obliged.
So what Guy and I are going to do now is fuck off and watch a Patreon-decided movie. And the way that it works is thusly. If you support us on Patreon for $5 a month or more, there's, you know, a bunch of bonus content that you get.
The final episode of the first run, assuming that we get to do it again, of Podcast in a Tree.
Yes.
Has just gone up.
That's right. With Alice Sneddon.
You can hear that for free, but if you want to actually see the tree.
And man, this is why some of them are a bit late, and like we filmed those a while ago. It took me a while because it's multiple cameras. It's a lot of angles.
It's a genuine, Tim has built, we built, and then Tim sort of visually created and technically edited up a genuine TV show,
but like
in a variety of trees.
It visually, you know, it's got its own vibe going on. But it did. I learned a lot of shit, which was the point. So I'm getting faster at that stuff.
Fantastic.
So I'm learning how to kind of do more of that.
This goes back to what I talked about at the start of the episode. You look at something, you say, "How does that work? I want to know. I think I can do that." Mm. And I stand next to Tim and I go, I'm with Tim.
Well, the main thing is you're happy, Guy, and that's all. My frustration would be born of someone who was not leading as happy a life as they could because they've relegated themselves to observing rather than participating.
Aye.
You hear what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying.
I got a power bill here for $115.48. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's great.
Our far bill, larger bills at the old flat.
Our power bills, it's not warm and we are using the heaters.
Yeah. You've got a heat pump?
No.
The government in New Zealand's just legally mandated that if you're running a rental, you've got to have a heat pump in there. But they've got this little clause where you don't have to put one in until the tenancy gets like refreshed.
I see. So someone might have signed a lease the day before that.
Correct.
And they get a year.
Or however long the tenancy is.
That's right. Securing the knowledge that when that tenancy contract is renewed.
Yeah.
Well, you know what is almost as good as a heat pump? The peace of mind that a heat pump will one day be in the building you're in.
$5 subscribers get the bonus content. $10 a month or higher on our Patreon puts you in an illustrious club called the Deciders Club, where you suggest and then vote upon a movie that Guy and I will watch for the Patreon community and review, and sometimes do a director's commentary of. And we've had some real classics. Recently we did a movie called... Zardoz. I was going to call it Zanzibar, but that's not right.
Yeah.
Sean Connery Fear.
This year we've been sent to some incredible places.
We watched Spice World as well recently, which we both absolutely loved.
A while long ago. But we also watched... what was that super trippy one? We watched it at the same time as Baywatch.
Oh, God, what was that called? That was just like an LSD adventure.
The Holy Mountain.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
So we've been taken to all sorts of corners of the cinematic universe, and so we will continue to be, because I'm very excited about what we're about to watch.
They gave us Princess Diaries this time, which is such a kindness.
Truly. And I don't think I've seen it. I think I've seen parts of it when it's been on in the background, but I've not actually seen it.
It's great. It's a great movie. We're going to have a good time, which I always feel weird about because of my Protestant work ethic and Catholic inheritance of guilt.
It's supposed to be
cinematic punishment they select for us, but they gave us Princess Diaries this time.
Do you know how I found the movies we've watched?
Mm-hmm.
I checked my Letterboxd. I'm loving using Letterboxd.
Mm-hmm.
Do you use it?
I refuse to engage in this conversation until they give us money.
Oh, okay.
Not happening.
Okay.
Bye, everybody.
Can we get money from them, do you think?
I actually reckon we could, because they're New Zealand based. Did you know that?
No.
It's a New Zealand company.
It's gone ballistic.
Yeah, it's like
so many people.
Stratospheric. Yeah. It's a New Zealand originated company. They've still got their offices here. I work with one of the people who's real high up.
Do you know the person who started it?
Nah, I don't know who like founded it or whatever.
Fucking legendary.
Mm.
Anyway, we're not going to talk about that.
Yeah, we're not.
See ya. Welcome to the friend zone.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.